So we're going to jump to the second part of the program here as the creaky microphone makes its way over. And going to talk, or actually not going to talk, because the talking already happened. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an interview I recorded last evening at 6 p.m. with Michael Ratner. He's the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. And he and the organization are lead plaintiffs in a case against Donald Rumsfeld, George Tenet, several Pentagon generals, and Stephen Cambone, Undersecretary of Defense. And here is that interview, and I'll be back close to the top of the hour. Michael, let's start out by having you just real briefly describe what it was that the Center for Constitutional Rights has done in the German court system regarding the Bush administration.
Well, on December 2nd or so, we went over to Germany and we filed a 160-page complaint with the German prosecutor, which is the German Attorney General, alleging that 10 high-level U.S. officials were responsible for war crimes that had been committed in Iraq. And by war crimes, I mean violations of the military law that prohibits inhumane treatment and torture. We filed this case in Germany against people like Donald Rumsfeld, our Secretary of Defense, all the way down the chain of command, General Sanchez, who used to be in charge of the Iraq theater of war, and other officials. We did that based on what a lot of people know about, which is the torture that took place against hundreds, I believe, of Iraqis that the United States government or the Bush administration has claimed was done by a few bad soldiers, but we believe there's evidence that goes all the way up the chain of command.
Now, I imagine the reason that this has not been brought to the U.S. legal system is that it wouldn't get far because it would kind of be deferred to the internal military structure. And if that's correct, then I'm assuming the reason it's not going before the International Criminal Court is, well, the United States doesn't feel it needs to be held to that international standard. So if both of those are true, what is it about Germany's legal system that allows you to bring this case against the U.S. government regarding something elsewhere against people who aren't Americans?
Well, you've got it right. I mean, my last choice here was to go outside of the United States, but I've been frustrated for a long time by the fact that U.S. officials have refused to investigate higher-ups. They're sort of trying to say only these lower-level soldiers were responsible. And as you said, the U.S. just doesn't recognize anything like the International Criminal Court. And then you have to turn to really the courts of last resort, which are the courts of other states. And in this case, Germany has the best courts and the best law that you can have in this kind of situation. What German law says is that someone who commits torture during wartime can be brought to justice anywhere in the world, and German courts have jurisdiction over that person. The technical word we lawyers use is universal jurisdiction. The best analogy probably for people is pirates. Pirates could be captured anywhere and brought to justice in whatever state captured them. And what law has evolved to be is, as a last resort, is that certain crimes are so heinous and so bad, and torture being a primary one, that those people are enemies of all humankind. And any court, any national court of a state, can reach out and essentially try and prosecute them. Now, in the case of Germany, Germany does have probably the best law on this, making torture a universal crime, but it also has some other aspects here that were very important in these cases, and that is that three of the people who we believe were involved in the torture, and we allege were involved in the torture, have returned from Iraq to Germany, where they are at U.S. air bases there. That's General Sanchez, who was in charge of Iraq, and we believe had knowledge of what happened at Abu Ghraib, the tortures that took place there, as well as we believe he himself authorized the use of dogs. His deputy likewise did the same, and he is also in Heidelberg, Germany, which is where the headquarters of the 5th Corps. And the head of the Military Intelligence Brigade, Colonel Pappas, is sitting in Wiesbaden at another U.S. military base. So you don't really need to for those three guys to reach out across Germany's borders. Most states, like Germany, if there's a torturer living within your midst, you have a right to go get him. And that's really what we're saying in this case.
Now, am I correct in noting here that when you use the phrase enemy of mankind and the comparison to pirate, you are not using hyperbole. That's actual just repetition of, I don't know if they're legal arguments or legal definitions or comparisons, but I've actually seen piracy used in the context of the comparison of these cases.
That's correct. Actually, when we won our first case in the United States with regard to torture, and we were bringing some torturers to justice who committed torture in Paraguay, no less. They happened to be here. The court, a very high court in New York, said that for purposes of our law, the torturer has become like a pirate, an enemy of all humankind or an enemy of all mankind. And so that's correct. I mean, that's a legal term, actually, that torturers are really considered fair game anywhere in the world.
Okay, so you mentioned three of the people charged herein, but not the two best known. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld and former DCI George Tenet. And then there are also somewhat well-known Brigadier General Janice Karpinski, Lieutenant Colonel Jerry Philibom, Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Jordan, Major General Jeffrey Miller, and Stephen Cambone, Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence at the U.S. Defense Department. And everybody there except George Tenet and Rumsfeld, who's technically a civilian, is actually active military. Let's actually go back to the German law real quickly before we get into some of the specifics of what it is that you're putting forth in this complaint. And this actually isn't the right name I just found out, but I'm going to refer to it as the German Code of International Criminal Law. Can you explain a little bit about that law and how it allows anyone to use it anywhere but in Germany?
Well, that law was passed just 2002, and it was passed really to make German law essentially conform with the law of the International Criminal Court. And it was much debated in Germany on this specific issue as to what should be the law's reach as well as what the crime should be. What the crimes should be was fairly easy because the crimes are pretty well defined now in international law. And that law just says that anybody who commits violations of humanitarian law, which is military law, and commits acts such as torture, murder, hiding people who were detained, what we refer to as ghost detainees, transferring people out of a country, has a whole list of crimes that violate humanitarian law. And it says that that's one part of the list. The other part of the list, it says that anybody who aids or abets in those crimes is also guilty, not just the person who actually does the crime. And thirdly, and very importantly, it says that superiors can also be liable if they knew about the crimes or knew they were being committed or knew they were about to be committed and they failed to stop the commission of those crimes. And that really reflects not only international law, it reflects United States law as well. So there's not much argument about the definition of the crimes. Where you get into issues with countries like the United States is to what extent you can prosecute people who are outside of Germany for those crimes. And that's where we get into universal jurisdiction. And most legal scholars think you can do that, that when it comes to certain fundamental crimes like torture, you can do that. And even the Geneva Conventions themselves have a provision that says, let's say that every single country who's a signatory, which would include the United States, has the obligation to seek out and prosecute people who violate the Geneva Conventions. So the issue for German law is to what extent you can reach outside of Germany and go get Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, or George Tenet, formerly the head of the CIA, or Cambone, who's the deputy to Rumsfeld, or others who are outside of Germany. And there is some discretion in those cases given to the German prosecutor. The German prosecutor has much less discretion when it comes to people in Germany. Those are people he has to really, I think, would have trouble getting rid of in this case. Others he can look at and say, well, look, there's no way I can really investigate what Rumsfeld did, so how can I really go ahead with this case? Our answer to that, and that's why this complaint is 160 pages, is that there's so much on the public record now with regard to Rumsfeld and with regard to Tenet that there's not a lot of investigation that needs to be known. It's almost like the emperor has no clothes except the emperor doesn't know it. I mean, I think most people in the world understand what our highest U.S. officials are alleged to have done. The reports themselves that came out of Washington with regard to, for example, Rumsfeld, has Rumsfeld approving the use of dogs in Guantanamo, the use of stress positions holding people in the same position for 12 hours, the use of isolation for long periods of time, the use of exploiting phobias of Muslim people, all kinds of things that on their face violate the Geneva Conventions and violate humanitarian law. So our argument with the German prosecutor is really, our argument in favor of him keeping these cases is that, look, there's thousands of pages of reports here and articles. You can begin an investigation, which is really what we're saying, on what we have given you. In addition, the brigades that actually involved themselves in a lot of these alleged abuses are stationed in Germany. It's not just that General Sanchez is there, or the Deputy Commander Wojtkowski, or Colonel Pappas, but the brigades are actually there that were taking care of the Abu Ghraib prison, so that the German prosecutor can begin investigations right now with those people. Now, of course, the latter aspect which you can talk about is the political issue, and of course that's a big one, and how much pressure there will be put on the German government by the Americans to get rid of these cases, as they did with Belgium a year or two ago.
You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO. I'm speaking with Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. We're discussing their effort to have a formal investigation and legal proceeding in Germany against Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, former Director of Central Intelligence George Tenet, and nearly a dozen other military and civilian military folks regarding the torture scandals at Guantanamo Bay across Iraq and, according to the complaint, at possibly several dozen secret locations around the world with the CIA in charge there. But that's a whole different thing. In reading through several key sections of the complaint earlier today, I noted that there's a lot of references to media articles, you know, newspaper articles online, and I imagine in print as well, which I haven't seen so much in legal documents. Is that something new? And if it is, are you actually going to introduce, you know, like Los Angeles Times or, you know, Le Monde Diplomatique articles as evidence of what happened?
It's a good question. Normally in an American legal proceeding, once you're in a case, of course, that's considered, you know, hearsay, and it's not really solid evidence. It's not affidavit evidence. It's not official investigations. In this case, there's two things that are important here. One is, I think the majority of our document comes out of official U.S. government reports, whether it was the Schlesinger report or the Jones Fay report or the Taguba reports or the Red Cross reports. There's a score of those reports, the torture memos as well. There are a number of references to newspaper articles. And the reason for that is this is actually an attempt to get the German government or the prosecutor to begin an investigation of the case. It's not the actual proof in the case. We're saying to the German prosecutor, not only do we have all these documents of admitted defaults and crimes by high-level U.S. officials, but we also have newspaper articles that give a little more meat to some of what's going on here, and that you can use them for at least for sufficient purposes to know that there's enough information here to open an investigation, and that's what we're asking him to do. And along that line, I want to say to all the listeners now is one of the things that's very important in this case is for the German prosecutors to understand that people care about this issue all over the world, and particularly in the United States. And people should probably have a visit to the CCR website, because what we have on our website, we have a letter you can send directly to the German prosecutor by pressing a button. It's in German and English, asking him to open in this investigation. We've gotten thousands already sent. I can tell you thousands more are going to be really important. Our website is ccr-ny.org. And I can just say it's really crucial that people, if they agree with this approach, that they should send that letter directly to the German prosecutor.
And again, www.ccr-ny.org. There's also a link at the People Rise Up website directly to that very same letter.
That's great.
Yeah. So now, one of the big
kind of objections to hearing all these complaints about themselves earlier this year, and dating back however far back these stories broke, was, well, these folks aren't, the administration officials say, well, these folks aren't under the Geneva Conventions. And, you know, okay, so if you were willing to give them that, as you folks mentioned, there's at least a half dozen other, both U.S. and international laws that have been broken. There's the entire U.N. Torture Declaration. There's the U.S. Uniform Code of Military Justice, the War Crimes Act, U.S. piece of legislation. What kind of defense can these guys begin to offer in court?
Well, they don't have a lot of defense, I'll be honest. I mean, I think this is a case where, I mean, I think most, as I said, most of the world knows these guys are guilty up to their necks. I mean, there's revelations every single day about atrocities and human rights violations and torture going on in these prisons that are still continuing. And the most recent one was a few days ago when the Times had a piece saying the Red Cross said the conduct of the U.S. in Guantanamo was tantamount to torture. And as far as I could tell from the article, it's still continuing. And, of course, you're right. Just because there's no Geneva Conventions, according to the United States, applicable at least to Guantanamo, there's numerous other laws. There's the Convention Against Torture, which you mentioned, which has a criminal element under the U.S. law, so you could prosecute people for that. There's a variety of other crimes that U.S. has committed. Of course, in Iraq, they claim that the Geneva Conventions did apply, and so they have absolutely no escape from what they did in Iraq. But they don't have any really in Guantanamo either. Their only real escape, apart from, you know, hyper-legal technical memos that no lawyer in his right mind thinks have any validity, is their claim that this stuff was done by, you know, rump or outside the off-the-charts people, and that they weren't in control and they didn't authorize it. You know, and that, when you read through this stuff, you know that's not the case. They knew about this stuff. They certainly made no attempt to stop it. And as I just said with regard to someone like Rumsfeld, there's actual memos in his own, you know, that he's approved that authorize dogs, you know, and a lot of other techniques that are clear violations of humanitarian law that constitute torture, that certainly violate Geneva. So they're just dead. I mean, there's no issue on their liability under law, in my view. I mean, I just think there's a lot of evidence here. The problem is that they're the most powerful country in the world, and the pressure they've applied not only to avoid international criminal court, to avoid any real investigation, independent investigation here, and then the effort they're going to probably make to have Germany try and get rid of these cases is going to be a strong one.
Well, let's talk about political pressure as closing out the interview here, but I just want to, although he's only very tangentially mentioned in the complaint, I just want to point out that a lot of the legal context, as the administration saw it, for what these guys are accused of, was written by Alberto Gonzalez, the possible new attorney general. So I think people just need to be aware of where the legal argument for some of this stuff came from.
This is one of the more disheartening and disgusting chapters in the recent times, I have to tell you. You know, Gonzalez wrote a memo January 25th, 2002. It's actually in a book that I wrote called Guantanamo, What the World Should Know. You can see that memo and the response by Powell. But that memo essentially says we should not apply the Geneva Conventions because if we do, we're risking being prosecuted for war crimes, essentially because we're going to treat people inhumanely in Guantanamo. So this guy is really saying we're going to treat people inhumanely and we better not apply Geneva because we don't want to be prosecuted. It's really the legal architecture began with Gonzalez. The idea that this man is now being elevated, hopefully it won't be, but to the Attorney General, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States, is utterly disgusting. There's not really words strong enough to talk about it, nor are there words strong enough to talk about the fact that the Democrats have so far in Congress said they are not going to put up much of a fight. They say they're going to ask some questions, but they're not putting up a strong fight, nor a lot of other organizations. And it's unimaginable to me that's not going to happen here, because this is really a man whom, it's my belief, was one of the architects of the inhuman treatment and torture at Guantanamo that eventually led to the the pictures we've seen of Abu Ghraib and the tortures that took place there, and yet he's being elevated. And when you read that not only is he being elevated, but then they're considering giving General Sanchez, who's the commander in Iraq, who again I believe knew about everything that was going on and even authorized dogs, they're thinking of giving him a fourth star. You have to say to yourself that this country really is not a place that's recognizable in terms of its government any longer as being a part of civilization.
Yeah, well, similarly, everyone involved with 9/11 has also been promoted, but that's a whole bunch of other different programming.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I know you got to get going, but just lastly, the political pressure. What's the timing of the German court system having to make some sort of response? And, you know, this is obviously on the U.S. government's radar screen. I mean, I'm sure you sent Donald Rumsfeld a copy.
Well, you're right, of course. I mean, the question here is what's the timing and what are they going to do? And so far what's been interesting, the U.S. hasn't made many public statements, which makes me a little nervous because normally you'd have congressmen screaming about this and others that something's going on underneath that I don't know about. But the timing is things could happen fairly rapidly in 2 or 3 weeks if they get huge pressure from the United States. They could say, well, we've decided that this case, we don't want to take it up. We can then appeal that into the court, and then we're dragged out in German courts for a while. But not the worst result, but I would hope that they take this seriously. I mean, you know, these kind of crimes, torture, you know, indefinite detention, ghost detainees, transferring people outside of their country, they have a lot of resonance in Europe that they don't have in the United States because Europe went through the Second World War and Hitlerism. And the aspects of Hitler from special courts to torture to interrogation camps are really reminiscent, and they have a ring for people in Europe that people here don't really get. And so I'm hopeful that the Europeans see this as an opportunity to even keep at least some pressure on the United States by opening an investigation. Another good alternative here would be if they said to us, we'd consider a major success, well, we're going to suspend this case for 6 months in the belief that the United States will do a serious independent investigation. That, to me, would be a terrific victory. But I just can't imagine, really, the United States, which is digging in harder and harder on everything from Guantanamo to torture, taking any of this seriously. I'm believing that it can, really, it believes, I think, the Bush administration, that it can get away with literally murder.
Michael Ratner is the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City, where he joined us to talk about their efforts to get criminal indictments against Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, former Central Intelligence Director George Tenet, and a whole bunch of military folks regarding the Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, and other torture scandals. Thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we got just a couple of minutes left here. Thank you very much for all the phone calls people have been making, commenting on the topic at hand today. For those of you who've missed tuning in, Making Contact did not happen today. People Rise Up has been going a little long, talking about the indictments against both George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld, George Tenet, Stephen Cambone, many people in the Pentagon, civilian military folks, etc., related to the war crimes and torture that took place at both the Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay detention prisons, as well as potentially dozens of secret CIA locations around the world. Relevant websites, www.lawyersagainstthewar.org, and also www.ccr-ny.org. All of that's also available from the People Rise Up website, available at kboo.fm. Wait for the programming menu to load. Click on Program Schedule Wednesday morning at 10, People Rise Up. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other program, you can send me an email to kboo at riseup.net. Rise Up is one word. Think we'll try and get back to the climate thing next week. Wasn't able to schedule the woman I want to talk science with about that. And in 2 weeks, we'll have our first ever Christmas special on People Rise Up. So look forward to that. Again, your input is desperately needed by the folks in Canada, States, Germany, etc. regarding these indictments.
So you can do some mouse activism, real simple. Send these letters off. Maybe you can help get this thing in Germany moving before Christmas. Wouldn't that be exciting? Because let's face it, these guys got to go. And whatever, look at the squeakiness here. If anybody's got any oil for this here microphone, it'd be appreciated. These guys got to go. They're not rightfully in office. They've violated the U.S. Constitution and international law and kind of destroyed the opinion of the U.S. in many, many countries around the world. And they got to go. It's the only way we can kind of reclaim some of the positive side of the stature the U.S. holds in the world.